I think I'm like Andrew, like public crying or whatever is something I hate. but personal preference is not that important. I'm just so thankful that, one, he's alive. And he's really alive. Not just physically alive. He's spiritually alive. His kingdom alive. And watch out. Watch out. A mighty battle did take place. And the Lord overcame the principalities in that area through his given over servant. And so I just thank Andrew, honor both Andrew and Noreen. It's not just Andrew that suffered, of course. Noreen, she is a mighty woman, and it's pretty incredible. And so we are so enriched today. And so once again, I just want to thank Ed and Linda for speaking life to us. Amen.
Thank you. We love you, John. We are so honored to be here. We just want to say that, just to be here on this special celebration day, 7th anniversary. I remember being here 7 years ago, almost to the month, and falling in love with the people here, falling in love with Pastor John and Suzanne and the leadership team. So many of you have been dear friends. And like John said, we pray for each other. You all have been a great support to us and a big help to us in the ministry. But like he said, the greatest has been your love for us. And I'm so grateful. Linda and I are so grateful. We have been touched so many different ways through the people in this fellowship. We really feel like family. And that's one of the most beautiful things, is to be able to be knit together in the body of Christ. Like family. And so it's good to be with our brothers and sisters. You know, we're your cousins, you know. So good to see our family here.
Yes. I just want to say thank you so much for your love for us, for your prayers. We're in this together. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. And we serve the same mandate. We serve the same glorious Jesus. From all paths and walks and streams and denominations and regions, we all serve the Lord Christ. Mm-hmm. Isn't it glorious? It's encouraging. We're all bonded together, strengthened by one another. Our miracles are your miracles. Our breakthroughs are your breakthroughs. Your plight is our plight. Your bind is our bind. We want to pray with you, and so we do. So I just feel strength today, and I just say to the Brunsons, thank you. The verse I get for you is Song of Solomon 8:5. I need my glasses. Who is this? I'm not going to read much, but who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? And so we just saw a glimpse of the bride. She is bruised, but not broken. Her embers are still hot. The Lord is so good. So I just bless you as the Church of Jesus today and say thank you for showing us what we are able to do through Christ Jesus, what we are able to withstand more than we know. So thank you. I honor you today.
Amen. Amen.
I just also want to say it is such an honor to be here at the 7th anniversary time. I have so many streams of thoughts and scriptures in my heart, but I am so grateful. This church is such a significant church in the world, not just this region, but I see the 7th year and this turning over into a new year. You know, it's new beginnings. You step right into the 8th year at the very beginning, 2020. You just completed 7, but you step into something new. And I know the Lord's going to do a new thing. And yet today, I have a feeling we're going to hear something that is simple and profound and elementary to all of us to go back to our first love, to hear what his heart is for us, and to know that he carries us through so much beyond, more than what we could think or ask. And he searches our own spirit. He knows the wine in our heart. He knows it. He knows what you have within you in the middle of this hour of your life, the very issues that you face. So I'm not going to preach, but what I feel is to open. Thank you, Brenda. Mama Brenda. I just feel, I want to implore you to open up your hearts today. And it takes the Lord to open our heart. We can't even open up our own heart without the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for Ed. But I just want to say thank you. Well done, Church of Jesus Christ, for your partnership. I think of Revelation 1 and the seven churches and the seven lampstands of Zechariah chapter 4. And I was reading that this morning, and I'd love to read it over you, but I won't take the time. But the idea of seven is, I can't even find the scripture. I think we'll sit here for too long. But maybe at the end I can do that. But I just want to encourage you to know that you are a part of a viaduct. You're a part of a stream. It's something more than what you know. We look at ourselves and we go, it's so small. My offering is so small. My output is so small. But you are a part of something glorious and heavenly. And you are from God. You know who you are. You know who you've come from. You know where you're going. And that's what keeps us in these times of trouble. So I just bless you. And so let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Amen. We thank you, glorious Father, Father of glory. Right now, we declare your glory in our lives now. Though we don't see it, God, you see it. You see the budding virtues of fiery love within each of us. You see the yes and amen that we faintly speak to you and weakly give you, God. So God, we ask you today, open the eyes of our heart that we could see the glorious inheritance. We are your inheritance, Jesus Christ. Yes. We don't belong to ourselves. We don't belong to our mate. We don't belong to our children. We don't belong to this world. We belong to Jesus Christ. And so we want to live as a bride. Yea, leaning on her beloved, her lover, her friend. Jesus, this is who we all are. And so, God, I ask you to bless the message today. Bless my husband. Pour out your spirit on him as a friend of the bridegroom, as a loyal friend, a dear friend of Jesus. God, I ask you to touch your friend and let him speak with your words today, weakly, but let them come out bold as a lion. Let them come out. Let them resonate within our heart, God, as though you were speaking to us. God, we say we receive him in the name of Jesus, and I bless him today. Amen.
Thank you, Linda.
Yes.
Wow, that's good. I like when she preaches, so I was kind of hoping she kept going. Linda and I have been married 38 years, and going on our 39th, and so, yeah. Yeah, we know there's a God, and our stories, like all of our stories, are the testimony of our salvations are very, very precious, and amazing. But when we think of how we came together, and I won't get into that today, but we love mercy. I love mercy, and so God has brought us together, and he's kept us together, and. Thank you, Lord. He's the one that does it. It's interesting because 7 years ago or so, when I was here, Helen gave me a prayer card, and she put the names of the leaderships on and some other names. And so for all those years, that's been in my Bible. And that's, it's so interesting because I've been other places and meet a lot of different people. Yeah, but the Lord just kind of knit my heart here. And so I look at the names, and here they are, And some of the, it's just been very, very precious to me. Anyway, so you all are close to my heart. I remember when it was October, 2017. That was the first introduction I had about the Brunsons, about your plight. That and John told me all about it. It was John who awakened me to it, and so you became part of my prayer list too, before we knew you. And but anyway, it was John that introduced Linda and I to you, and so. So we've loved you for more than I've actually known you in person, but God has really done something mighty in your life, and it is a sign. I love that verse, Linda. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on our beloved? That's really the testimony of the church. You know, the bride that we all of us. He has a. Specially designed path. Each of us has different struggles, joys, challenges, you know, successes. And there's each of us has our own wilderness, in a sense, where we find God, we find Him, and we walk with Him. And then we, you know, through the ups, the downs, the peaks, the valleys, the deserts, and everything. But we come out leaning. That is the Lord's. We come on leaning on Him. And so, now, we're part of a ministry called International House of Prayer in Kansas City, IHOP. And I think we want to change the acronym, I think, to ILEAN or ILIMP or something, you know. IHOP just doesn't seem to make it some days. I don't feel like hopping a lot of times, so. I crawl sometimes, you know, or whatever. I complain or whatever. That I complain probably wouldn't be a good one to name, but. So, but we're IHOP right now, but we are learning to lean, you know, on the Lord ourselves, and all of us individually are. But it's a joy to know this family, and I have had such encouragement and a personal strength coming from many of you here, have just, you know, as a body, but individually. And I just want to thank you. Bless you. I was thinking today just... about Jesus' last public message, you know, he gave before he went to the cross, before he, you know, went to his wilderness, you know, as we might say, was Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. I just thought if you would, I'd put that up for us here. I'm just going to read it and then we'll comment. Jesus replied, "You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I thought, what message would you leave, your loved ones, the ones you care everything for, what would you leave? This is an important message. And for him to say, Jesus himself to say, the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. And he says, everything that we've read in the Word, everything we've heard prophesied, or this stands above it all. This encapsulates it all. I felt like today, even just, it was more than just someone telling a story or just someone relating someone else's experience. Your testimony is so powerful because you lived it, and all of us, we're all living our own. We all have our own testimony. You know, everybody has like I said earlier, challenges and all of those things. I mean, I would not want to walk in some of your shoes. What you've been through, and you probably wouldn't want to walk through what we've been through, you know, in some ways. Everyone has challenges in different ways, but God's heart is that we would end up loving Him and leaning on Him and knowing Him. And to me, what's so encouraging about this, the words of Jesus, is that He prophesied this. It will happen. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think... I will, you know. I want that. He goes, no, you will. You will. My body will love me in this way. And the Lord has a plan. He is just relentless in his love in pursuit of us. He has already demonstrated his love to us in the most profound way. No, Jesus said in John 15, he said, no greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. That's right before he goes to the cross. He declares the Father's name. Does the Father love us? Do we have a loving Father in heaven, or is he a distant God? Jesus says to his Father in John 17, right before he goes to the cross, he says, Father, I have declared your name, and I will declare your name. So that the love that you have for me might be in them, and that we together would have that same love. The Lord is inviting us into a relationship, and he's relentless. And he's doing something on the earth that I said, well, okay, I see what you're saying that, but how are you going to get that we're going to love each other? How are we going to love our neighbor as ourselves? I mean, that's a little challenging. I don't know about some of you. I have some interesting neighbors. My neighbors are over there going, we have some interesting neighbors too, those Hacketts. Who are those people? But how are you going to do that? How are you going to gather us together? How are you going to do this, Jesus? It seems impossible. I literally had a dialogue. You know, sometimes you just talk with the Lord. You know, I pray quietly sometimes. Sometimes I just walk and talk and don't you do that, you know, different ways? But we can talk to him. And a lot of times, you know, we wait for answers. Sometimes we don't hear. We just believe. But there's sometimes you hear, you know. So you can have a little dialogue, you know, with the Lord. He likes to talk with us. And so I am literally thinking, oh, God, how are you ever going to unite your church? How are you going to do this? How are you going to bring the body of Christ together? And to be one bride, you know, how are you going to do that? You know, there's estimates are maybe 30,000 plus churches of different denominations, and have been formed out of, you know, over the years, and most of those have not been necessarily church plants. You know, they've been through division. Well, I'm going down. You know, we're the second church of this, or we're the third church, or we're the 13th church of this. You know. I go, how are you going to do it, Lord? I want to, you know, I have, even in my own family, I got 9 siblings, you know, how do you get along? How are you going to do this? And this is what I said. I said, it seems impossible. And the Lord spoke really clearly to me. It wasn't audible, but it was clear. He goes, oh, that's easy for me. And I go, it is. I mean, I have a clear thought. It's easier for me. I go, it is? He goes, oh, yes. He said, I've already done the impossible. The impossible was making a way for you, Ed, to come into my holy presence. That was the impossible. He said, the rest is easy. He said, I'm going to reveal my holy son, the beauty of my son. And I'm going to overwhelm the body of Christ with the mercy that I have given. He's a holy God. And he said, the body of Christ together will worship my son, and we will love one another. He said, the rest is easy. I've done the impossible. Okay, you know, I felt like the Lord wants to encourage us with that. He wants to show us something. He wants us to realize the great mercy that he has shown us. And he's doing that across the earth in different ways. And I believe, you know, like the Brunsons, and we could all have stories. I have my own story. How I'm understanding, we sang about it, about the prodigal son coming home, you know. The prodigal son. Coming home, you know, not deserving. We go, oh my gosh, I'm getting in touch. The older I get, the more in touch I am, just how messed up I am. Anybody, do I see a hand out there? Anybody agree? Okay. I mean, I was hopeless. I was hopeless then. And by the grace of God, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit was on the preaching of the gospel, 36 years ago now. I mean, I knew I needed to be saved. The Father's the one that leads us into salvation. But as I get older, the more I see, the more mercy that I see that I received and that I need today. I'm falling in love with the Lord in a new way. I'm thankful to the Lord in a new way. When we see what He has done for us, because we're His, we will live with Him forever. None of us have worked our way into the kingdom. None of us have, you know, had great, well, shining lives where we can go, if so-and-so, if anybody goes to heaven, that, you know, Aunt Susie's going to go. You know, she was a godly person, or she was a nice person, or whatever. Well, God wants us to know, because we know Him, that's our way. He is our righteousness in Him alone. And so I believe the Lord's doing something with us. He is doing something on the earth right now. He is starting to reveal the beauty of His Son to His people. He wants to do that to us, and then He wants to shine through us. Some of you right now, the sun's shining through right now on you and in some amazing ways. Interesting, because I had some words for some of the different leadership, but I saw John last week in a picture, in a vision, you might say. But he was he had stepped up out of a car, the sunroof, and the sun was shining on him, and he was celebrating. It was like this parade. He was in like this parade, and it was a parade where the sun, he was enjoying the heat of the sun, like he was saying today, the Son of God shining on him. And it was, the Lord was using this body of believers to shine forth the glory of God to our neighbors, to your neighbors, not just here, but throughout this region, and I believe the nations. God wants to shine on us. He is shining on us. Right now, there's the worship movement across the earth. Prayer and worship movement is exploding. And prayer meetings, like Friday night when we were here together in this very place, the presence of the Lord was so sweet. There were, some had gathered. I know different ones gather and have different, you know, we pray here, we pray in our homes, we can pray anywhere, like Pastor John said. But we are praying, but the Lord, saints are gathering together and we're worshiping the Lord, like this morning, the sweet worship to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one that's orchestrating this. There is a worship movement going forth. Every tribe, tongue, and nation is being awakened. The Father's love, He is reaching. He's reaching. He wants us to be with Him. He's drawing our attention to His Son, and He's drawing our affections to Him. You know, we're going to love Him. Jesus said, we're going to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I go, well, Lord, I don't know if I do that right now. My mind is like, seems like I just wander all the time, and, you know, I think about this and that, and poor Baltimore got beat yesterday. But anyway, I'm going, I'm sorry. We'll pray for that wounds after that. I'm hoping I don't have to pray for that later for Kansas City. But anyway, the Lord is really wanting us to know that He is with us and for us, and He's drawing us to His Son. And the worship movement is something that is God orchestrated. The prayer movement is God orchestrated. He's the one that's initiating us to pray. We're in great need, you know. We're here. We are celebrating today the 7th anniversary of this. I'm going to call it, and let me say this: a great church, great family of affection. And here we are, also in this building, or at least on this land, where I understand 200 years ago, you know, there was a church planted and participated in the Second Great Awakening. What happened, the nation, you know, two different times in this nation and in other places in the world, the body of Christ was crying out to God, you know, moms, grandmas, especially, you know, the moms, the mothers cry, oh, help, help our children, help my grandchildren. God, you know, the nation was in places of darkness, our nation was, and both, and what God did, he heard the cries of the people. He stirred the people to pray, to cry out, and he hears it. Throughout Israel's history, you see it, where Israel cried out, and God would respond with revival, and then they would wander away, and then they'd cry out again, you know, centuries later or decades later. Help God, we've turned away from you. Please have mercy. Have mercy. And God would respond. I believe we're in one of those moments again. Great prayer, great movements of God, great awakenings of God were preceded by great prayer movements. Just people crying out, saying, God, unless you come, we have no hope. On multiple levels. I believe the Lord is stirring us to pray, to cry out. He loves us. He hears our voices when we cry out. We have all been given the great gift of salvation, the great gift of mercy. And the second commandment is going to flow out of us. And I am prophesying this, but I am going to say this as a reality, that this house is actually walking in that, and you're going to walk in that. That the leadership of this house is one who loves, who are reaching out. You're an outreach church. You're an outreach people. The impact that you're having in Turkey and other places. Thailand and Kansas City. I mean, we're impacted, but the impact that you're having is greater than you know. The Lord sees your desire not only to enjoy his fellowship yourself, but to also to call in those who don't yet know him. And he's going to help you. He's going to help us. I believe that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to rest on the gospel. I believe he's going to move through us in powerful ways. We are the very same words that we've used, maybe in sharing a testimony or sharing the gospel with a workmate or a family member. Suddenly, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to break in, just like he did with us, right? I mean, I was out there in the bars. There's a lot of people like Ed Hackett out in the bars. You know, the work, just living, blah, you know. But the Lord loves, he loves sinners. I love this verse. I'm just going to read this. Romans 5. I didn't tell you this, but I'll just put it up. Romans 5, verse 8 to 11. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. God demonstrates his love towards us while we were still sinners. You know, I mean, you think about the mercy that we've received. The more we see him, the more we know him. And Abba is going to reveal his son. He's already doing it. It's why you're all here this morning. We would be doing something else if it wasn't for God drawing us and directing our hearts into the love of his son. But he's going to reveal him to us yet even more. We're going to fall in love at the cross. You know, I've been asked a lot of times, how do we just grow in the things of God? How do we grow in, you know, in the gifts of the Spirit, you know? Or how do we grow in this or that? I think how we grow is just through intimacy. Intimacy with him. You know, well, we go after him. We spend time with him. We set aside, you know, and just be real. I like what Linda says. He's earthy. He knows us anyway. He already knows who I am. you know, I always go, well, I'm always surprised when I sin again, you know, like last night. But anyway, I go, God, you know, And he goes, oh, I'm not surprised. You're way worse than you think you are. You're way worse. He said, don't, you know, if I leave the Lord for just a moment, you know, when I'm in the spirit, I'm kind of nice to be around. But when I'm in the flesh, I'm not so nice to be around. Maybe some of you are nice to be around in the flesh, but I'm not. Nor are you, actually. But when we're away from God, we're in trouble. So we lean into Him, you know. We lean into Him. And I believe what the Lord is doing is He's causing this body. I believe you're here today. And the Lord knew you were going to be here today. And He wants you to know He loves you. It's like He's wild about you. You know, just settle the issue. You're messed up. You're weak. You're broken. But you're beautiful. He loves us. But what about what about this? What about that? Just stop it. Maybe that's Him talking to me. Just stop it. Just come to me. You're mine. I have bought you with my blood. I think when that reality comes to us, we are securing Him and we love Him, then we are going to reach out like a whole other way. I think like what the song that came forth from Andrew's experience, I mean, that was, you talk about love, total trust, total leaning, like Linda said, that's where the Lord is taking all of us. I believe He's going to, we don't have to be imprisoned, you know, we don't have to. But the Lord's saying, I want you to trust me, to lean into me. Some of you have physical illnesses, you have loved ones that don't know Him, you've got difficulties at work, you have marriage, you know, issues. You have just life, you know. There's life, you know. It's so much better to walk with Him. The Lord says, trust me in this. Don't give up. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 to 38. No, I just said 10, didn't I? Matthew 9, 35 to 38. Sorry about that. So Jesus is going about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's healing every sickness and disease. Can you imagine that? He's walking through crowds and just healing everyone. This is who He is. And then He looks on the multitudes and He's moved with compassion. God's going, you know, when you're moved, sometimes you just can't even say words. You just kind of go, anybody have that groan sometimes? You just kind of go, God help. That's a powerful prayer, by the way. He said, he looks and he said, they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he says to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. I believe the Lord is getting us to a place where we will feel what He feels, see what He sees. And He's doing that by us as we worship, as we pray, as we minister to Him, and we feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we call and say, Lord, you know, I'm in this dire situation, or I'm in this, you know, I have a friend who's sick. There's someone with cancer. I'm going, oh God, I want them to be healed. Would you help me? You know, that whatever the situation is, there's a place of fellowship with the Lord. There's a place where He hears. We go to Him with that. Go to Him with that. And the Lord wants us to be moved like He is moved. And then He's going to send us out and He's going to release His power through us. But what He's doing, I believe, is He is undoing us so that He can undo us with power. We got to be undone. You know, he wants us to be, he can't entrust us. You don't give your 5-year-old the keys to the car, you know. You don't want to give some of your 16-year-olds keys to the car. Anyway, but my point is you don't give power to someone that can't handle the power. And the Lord's going to release his power. He is going to release all the signs, the greater works than these, is promised in the Word. He's going to do it. And he wants to do it through us. He wants to do it through us. But he's got to prepare us. And I believe that this church, I believe his church, but I want to speak more specifically to you. I believe he's preparing you. The leadership is preparing. He's preparing everyone in this auditorium, in this church right now. The invitation is to draw near to the Lord. He wants to equip us, yes, with the skills. You know, we want to take, you know, read the Word, take classes, and do all those things. And how do I pray for somebody that's sick? And how do I share the gospel? We want to know that, you know, that's really, really good. You want to be equipped. And the Scripture talks about being equipped. Ephesians 4, be equipped. They equip the saints, every saint, for the works of service. We all have a role to play. But there's an equipping that the Lord is going to do that will sustain us. It will cause us to persevere, and it's that internal preparation where we love him with all our heart, our soul. And then we love our neighbors out of that. He wants us to share in that. And I tell you what, we won't love our neighbors unless we have his love. You can't. We can't. It's impossible to love our neighbor unless we have the love of Christ. That will, it's also impossible to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and not love people. He wants us to enter into that joy. I love that joy. I just see joy in the back. There's the cross, you know. Fall in love at the cross. There's a joy. Who for the joy set before him. In fact, I love that. I'm thinking of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 right now. I kind of want to just speak it over as the word, and then we'll go from there. But just Hebrews 12, 1. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the Scripture says. And I'm thinking of the prayers that have been prayed over 200 years on this property. You think about the prayers that have been prayed. Generations past prayed prayers for salvation and for their children and children's children and children's children's children to know the Lord. Many of those prayers were answered in the Second Great Awakening. Most of them were not answered, but yet to be answered. And God's going to do it. He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring the healing that we're all in need of. He's going to do that. He's going to do it. He's going to answer the prayers. I'm just thinking. So the great cloud of witnesses, many of our own families, you know, we all are the fruit of somebody's prayers. You know, my family, Linda's family, prayed me into the kingdom. You all have your own stories. But the great cloud of witnesses. So since we're surrounded by those men and women, among the great cloud of witnesses, those of men and women of great faith, the word says in Hebrews 11:34 that out of weakness they were made strong. Out of weakness, they're broken, they're messed up as we are. But they trusted in God. So let us throw off the heavy weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run that race with perseverance. Don't quit. Fixing our gaze on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. I mean, just think of that. When you walk out today, just look at that. Everybody just turn around and look at that cross. I just think, you know, he's not on the cross anymore. But he endured the cross. He went to the cross for the joy set before him because he wanted us to be with him. He's going to allow us to enter into that. We're going to have the joy set before us. We'll endure whatever comes our way because of our love for him and his love for people, his love for us and love for people. That's our destiny. That's our portion. That's our inheritance as the children of God. I believe this church is in the eighth year. Like Linda said, it's a new beginning. I believe that the Lord is going to take you and he wants to multiply you. He wants to engage everyone in this fellowship, from the most mature to the weakest saint. Zechariah 12 says that the most feeble among them in that day will be like David. I claim that verse. Yeah, I have no strength. I know I have no strength. Sometimes I still try to lean on my strength and I go, oh, that's right, I don't have strength. But I trust in his strength. We can't do anything apart from him. I know we hear that, but we really can't. You know, we go, hey, I know that I can't do anything apart from him. Okay, let me get at this thing. No, we can't. Literally, you cannot do anything apart from Christ. That's kingdom worthy that will last. But we get him. We get in touch a little bit. We don't have to be perfect because we're not perfect, but we hang on to the perfect one. And we step out beyond our comfort zone. We reach out. We touch that neighbor. Or we touch that person that's sick, though we have prayed for them for 20 years and they're still not better. And I pray for 1,000 people. And maybe one kind of got better. I'm not going to quit. We're going to quit. You know, you're going to quit? You're kidding. You know, we're going to keep going. We're going to reach out. We're going to trust him. And God says, good. Watch what I will do with you. Watch what I will do with you, Rock family. That's why I love to call you the Rock family. I'm part of the Rock family. You're part of, that my family tree goes down. Like, oh, yeah, the Rock family, yeah. They were the bold ones. They were the loving ones. They were the kind ones. They wouldn't quit, you know. They were like a Timex watch. They'd take a licking, but they kept on ticking, you know. I can't tell that to the university students because they go, Timex watch, what does that mean? You know, what was that? You know, so anyway, but you get it. You know what I'm saying? Because you've taken some lickings, right? But you're here. You're still here. You're still saying yes. Some of you are on cloud nine. Some of you are like down in the depths. You're in the wilderness. And just keep going. Keep looking up. Keep your eyes fixed on him. For the joy set before you, endure. God has his eye on you. He's for us. I believe that your destiny is to walk in great power and great authority and give him all the glory in the midst of it. That's your destiny. And he wants you to do it together. See, the one thing I love about this, you are such a congregation of so many connections. You know, it's just not like you, your little group, us four and no more. You know, we can do that, you know. It's my group, it's a little better than your group. And, you know, you guys, you love people. There's so many connections. There's so many, you reach outside your four walls. You're having great impact. Greater than you know. Keep going. God's going to give you more. I believe 2020 is going to be a year of, I saw like a time capsule being opened. Prayers, promises that seem to have been delayed. The Lord's opening them up to answer. Things that you might have even given up on. Promises that were made. Prayers that you have prayed. Prodigals that you've prayed for. Some of you have parents you're praying for. Some of you are praying for children, siblings. Don't quit. Keep asking. God's going to answer in the most profound way. Love, mercy. I felt like I just got this where I was sitting in here. I just felt the Lord is, for the eighth year, the beginning, I'm going to declare it just as you do what you want with it, but a passion, compassion movement. Passion for Christ, compassion for people. It's going to exponentially grow this year. Give him your hearts. Call upon the name of the Lord. And do it together. Do it together. I'm going to pray one prayer. Lynn, have you had anything, or Pastor John, if you have anything you'd want to, in terms of just praying, I want to just pray one verse over us. Ask the Lord for this. I believe that Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. We're just going to turn there. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Verse 12 goes on to say, which I think is interesting in light of what I've just said. This is the Apostle Paul has prayed that prayer, and then he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now I believe he's in prison during that time. Is that correct? Yeah. So he's in chains at that time. And yet he is crying out for the brethren, us, to that love would abound yet more and more. And the Lord would keep us without offense until the day of Christ. That's what one of the translations says, keep us without offense. You know, that we would not be offended with God. We would not be offended at ourselves or at one another. God is doing something very, very, very awesome. And I believe, so I want to just pray this. So Lord, I just pray today then for this body. You love them. You're for them. I pray that your love would abound still more and more in knowledge, in all discernment. I pray that each one, individually and corporately, would grow still more and more, may abound in love more and more. That the first commandment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would be made known. You would draw every saint here, every son, every daughter, young and old, would be drawn into a greater revelation of your love. Would you reveal the beauty of your Son, the knowledge of your Son? I ask that discernment, the gift of discernment, would increase exponentially. I pray together, the saints, that they would approve this the Rock family, the things that are excellent, that they may be sincere, without compromise, and they would be without offense until the day of Christ. I pray that brotherly love would abound in this house, from this house. I just see this house as I'm prophesying now. I'm just thinking about you. I see this house as a house of healing. Healing. You're called to heal the body. I believe you have a calling to heal the body of Christ, to bring the body of Christ together. I've seen this many times being here, just Pastor John and others. And as you are out in the marketplace, this body is touching so many areas, the spheres of society, the government, the schools, the marketplace, that you would touch the different denominations, the different nationalities, the different tribes, tongues, nations that are in this area, that there's and beyond the nations. I just see this house as being one that brings the body of Christ together in the most beautiful way. You contend, you reach, you have that same relentless reach of love that Christ has for us, for you. I see you doing that. I just see some of you going and going again. You know, you go to someone and they just doesn't seem to be a connection, but you go again. You just don't quit. Love does not quit. Love does not give up. Thank God. He's going to give that to you as a gift. I believe as you ask him, what are you thinking? What are you feeling, Jesus? Right now, what is your testimony over my family, over my workplace, over my neighbors? What are you feeling? What do you want me to do? How can I reach? You do this through your prayer life and through that. You ask him, and God will give you divine appointments. I believe there's a divine appointment for this house to reach and to heal the body of Christ, heal the schisms, heal the offenses, and that the Lord's going to help you to do that. I believe he's going to release healing for bodies that are not to quit. He's blessing your, not just the ministry team, though he's going to bless the ministry team, but he wants to bless anyone in this, that will, anyone in this congregation that will reach out and just pray. Reach out your hand out of that comfort zone. Take your hand out of your pocket. Maybe say that word. Just that word. Hey, you know, I'm praying for you. Or may I pray for you? I just see all kinds of divine appointments. The Lord wants to engage you. You're a Joseph house. A house that's been tested, tried, imprisoned. Like Joseph, and I just see that even that the Jacob, when he's blessing his sons, he blesses Joseph, and he says, "You're like a fruitful bough, like a wall, like a branch hanging over the wall with fruit on it." I just see not just here; he wants to feed you within, but he wants to give you the everything you need to feed the community around. And I'm talking spiritual food. I'm talking natural food. I'm talking provision. You're doing that. You're a giving church. You're a loving church. And God wants to just breathe on it in a new way. 2020 beyond. Be a passion for Christ ministry movement. A compassion for people movement. Lord, I pray that you would visit this congregation with the first commandment, and the second commandment would flow most naturally right out of it. Let them encounter you, encounter your son in their homes, Lord, in their workplace, in their cars, and most importantly in their hearts, that they might love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And neighbors would be undone with the love that you show, your love that you show to them through this people. And we thank you, Lord, that you would love to do it, and you will do it. Because you said it. You said it. You prophesied it, Jesus. And we agree with your word. We shall love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we'll love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
That was so good for all of us. Amen. Excellent word, honey. I just want to culminate this time with you and give an invitation to you. For he who has eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. You know, this is an hour God has given you, a lifetime, an expansive time that's a gift to you. And every day you give to God is your gift to the Lord. You are his inheritance. And every minute you breathe, every day you live, it's a gift to the Lord that you give your love. And in times of trouble, we see that the value of that love goes up. And in the time of mercy, when God says, he who's forgiven much loves much, we see that the Lord is giving us a grace package no matter how you look at it. Every day of our lives, every plight, every forgiveness bit of mercy we give to a friend, a spouse, children, mother, father, we have much to forgive, don't we? But we have much to be given for. That mercy that God gives me, I have even more. So I just want to release to you an invitation. When I first got here 2 days ago, I was struck with the idea that we are in Bethesda. And I was reading in John 5. And if you remember in John chapter 5, the Jews have gathered for a feast. And there's the pool of Bethesda. And the multitude of the lame, the blind, the sick, the paralyzed are waiting by the pool. And I think of that as Washington, D.C. I think of that as this area. I think of that as us too. Because we need his help. But I just want to end with, and I hope this seems right, but to respond to the Lord in a spirit of faith and thanksgiving, but looking to Him who holds the answer to what we need today. We are in the pool of God. We are in a place and a movement of God. Ed said, have you ever been so moved that you could hardly move? Remember he said that. I was struck by that. You know, our hearts are moved by God, but sometimes we don't even know how to move. How do we move into the movement of God? The Lord wants to give special blessing today. It's a birthday for you. It's a time for us to, like the turning of a year, the turning of a new age. For some of us, that's emotional and that's not exciting. It's a melancholy time. For others, it's like, I can't wait till I'm, you know. But tonight or today, God, we just want to say together that we are next to you. Amen. The Father and the Son. We stand between the Father and the Son. Jesus, who makes intercession for us and who's made a way. So my hope is what Ed said, His joy stands before you. He who endured the cross for the joy of you in fellowship with you. I think today also of Zechariah 4 and how that message is to Joshua and how the angel of the Lord came to him and how out of this passage we see how the Lord says, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking and there's a lampstand of solid gold and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Those are the seven churches in Revelation. But seven's important, is it not? There's something important happening right now in your midst. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. We are in an hour where we need to see what God is doing in our lives. We need to ask the question. The answer is actually less important than the questions we're actually asking. A dialogue, a question. The Lord says, what is it that you want from me? He asked the lame man who had an issue for 38 years, what do you want me to do? Do you want to be made well? His unbelief was being rocked in that moment. Who here has unbelief? I do. I have great belief, but there's a lot of unbelief in me. It's hard to imagine the power of what God has just told us today, that I can love Him with burning love, yet I need Him to touch me and heal me, touch my mouth with the coals from His altar, move my heart with the sound of His voice, which is the sound of many waters. So I release to you in this beginning hour, a new day. Behold, I do a new thing. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit right now and lift our hearts to Him weekly. Doesn't have to be emotional and fervent. All we want to do is say, Lord, we want to be made whole and well. Let's take a moment and rise right now and say, individually, personally, before the Lord. So He answered and said to me, Zechariah 4, the angel of the Lord, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. We are weak. Jesus has laid a capstone. He's laid a foundation here for 7 years building. And there's going to be another phenomenal year ahead of us. Let's expect what God is able to do. Let's look for it. Let's say, Jesus, you are my expectation. I can't even move. I know you're touching me. You're moving me. I'm in a movement. But I don't even know yet what it is that I'm about or what you're going to do. Lord, we just declare, as the weak one in Bethesda, seeing the multitude in our own season, and yet knowing there is a source of power Jesus is getting ready to release. For those who will ask, for those who will believe. So our release to us today, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You are Zerubbabel, your leader, Jesus Christ, your pastors, your leadership team. The spirit of Zerubbabel is upon you, even now. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone. Jesus, beauty, transcendent one, glorious Son of God, with shouts of grace, grace to it. Lord, we both believe for our own lives and loved ones, for this city and for this church. Father, we lift prayers to you now. We stir the waters of faith. And I encourage you, let's pray for about a minute while the worship team begins to culminate this moment, not only with consciousness of our need, but consciousness of his mighty presence in your midst. Jesus, come Holy Spirit. We put our hope in you right now, Jesus. We put our hope in you. Talk to Jesus. Lift your voices. Yes and amen, Jesus. Be it unto me what you are speaking in my life. What are you saying to me right now? Letting go of offense. Believing God for a miracle. Releasing communion and unity to my house by the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and renew, release renewal right now. Do you believe, body of Christ? Do you believe he is able? He is able to do all that he has spoken and asked. We believe, God. All that you have spoken, God, we believe. Touch us anew, God. Release life to life, breath to breath. Revive us in the midst of these years to believe again, Holy Spirit. We celebrate your love. We believe. We believe. Heal us, O God. Touch us. Amen.
Lord, you've already done the impossible. Do that which is seems impossible to us, Lord. Our every situation that seems impossible to us, in our work, in our finances, in our health, in our families, we say, Lord, you've already done the impossible. Lord, all things are possible through you, those who love you and trust you. Do the impossible this year, Lord. Do the impossible through this body, in Jesus' name. Blessings in Jesus' name.